here. I wanted to ask you to continue to pray for my aunt, Marcella in West Virginia. She's still in the hospital. They have done all they can for her at that particular hospital with their expertise, and they need to transfer her to a hospital that has a neurosurgeon. And so they're waiting for a bed to come open at the other hospital. So just pray for her. She's been in the hospital now 3 weeks, and she has, they've got rid of some of the infections that she had, but she has some type of infection on her spine. And they need to transfer her to this other hospital so they can get further into that and see what they need to do for her. Amen. I wanted to make one more announcement before we go to the Lord in prayer. When you put in your tithe and offerings, if you could separate your tithe and offerings, we have two different accounts they go into. So they don't go into the same account, and it's kind of hard sometimes to make change. And so if you can, just if you could kind of separate it, that would be a great help. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning to be here, Lord. And we, Lord, look to you, Father, for your guidance through the scriptures and through the message of this hour this morning to be able, Father, to be a help and guidance to us, Lord. Father, to make our paths straight, dear God. And Lord, to help us along the way, Lord, in this journey that we are making through this life and through this world, dear God. And Lord, to keep our eyes focused, dear Lord God, on what this is really all about and what where we're going and what our end goal is. We ask, God, for your guidance now and for your anointing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to continue on with preaching on the same subject we've been on for some time. But I'd like to read from Romans chapter 12, verse 9, to kind of take up from a place where we left off from last Sunday. Romans 12, verse 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation, and that word dissimulation just simply means without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You may be seated. So if we, one of the things we were going through last Sunday was, if we are saying with our mouths that we love one another or love someone, but our actions are showing something different, then that's hypocrisy. And we need to be able to have this love and it be a true love. And I wanted to look at this morning some things that would kind of identify this for us. And one of the things was in the Word Became Flesh, the India Trip Report, Brother Branham says the following. He said, so help me as I stand here with my hand up at the pulpit. Help me to criticize nobody. And help me that God will give me a spirit in my heart that instead of criticizing it, I'll love them anyhow. So let me just stop here for a moment. When you say something about love them anyhow, it makes it seem like that the criticism you would think would be just. But Brother Branham's saying it doesn't matter. Don't criticize. You know, it's like that old thing, when I don't know if you ever heard that the thing, a phone call from God, and supposedly God's talking to the man, and he says, Lord, no, we don't gossip at all. He said, the things we say about our neighbors is all true. That's still gossiping. And so he's saying, help me to criticize nobody. Help me, instead of criticizing it, that I'll love them anyhow and go on. That's the problem sometimes we have. We just won't go on. Go on and let it alone. Listen, we're not all going to agree. I know you're not always going to agree with everything I do. But I want you to understand something. I don't care whether you agree with it or not. God didn't call you to lead this church. He called me to lead it. And so I'm not trying to lead it by getting your opinion. I'm trying to lead it by getting the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I don't mean that to sound smart, but I just want it to sink home. And he says here, he said, go on. He said, then he begins to tell about himself some. He says, it's been just a constant grind and grind and grind until I'm just human. And my mental powers are breaking like that. And I need to get away for some rest. And that's why I'm going away to stay by myself, to pray that God will take that critical feeling away from me. Mellow me down. Now, if Brother Branham here is a prophet of God, the last day is saying that he had a trouble with this critical feeling, then there's not a one of us here can say, no, we've never had that. We've all sat in the seat of the critic at one time or another. And we were never justified. He said, pray that God will take that critical feeling away from me and mellow me down. That's what we need sometimes. We need to be mellowed down. And I could go and act like it, but that wouldn't come from my heart. And I'd be a hypocrite then. And I want it to come from my heart. I want to really have love for those who are not lovely. So he's saying, I could go and act like I love, but if it's not coming from my heart, then it's love with hypocrisy. I want to really love those who are not lovely. That's what Jesus did. When I was critical, I needed the criticism. I needed to be criticized. And still, he loves me anyhow. So that's the way I want to be. So I wanted to read this quote to kind of express to you that each one of us at some time or other, we could be a hypocrite about our love. If we're being critical, and then therefore the love's not coming from my heart, and if we're being critical of one another, then we can't say we love one another. But Brother Branham said, instead of being critical, just love them anyhow. Many times we think we want to justify ourselves criticizing somebody. Well, look, they're doing this and that, and if they'd done it this way or that way, you know, that would be better off. You know, it's real easy. I've said this before, and it's an old saying. It's real easy to criticize somebody when you've never walked in their shoes. You don't know where they're at. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the trials they're facing. You don't know the difficulties they're facing. You don't know where they're at in their life, and you don't know where God is on the scale of working with them. And that's why it takes patience with one another. It takes patience as a pastor, because, you know, if you got up and preached something one time, Brother Phil, and think that was just going to change everything, you'd be a really sad person. Because preaching it one time don't usually do the deal. It usually takes several times for us because we're humans. And we all at one time or another think on any given subject that we know a thing or two. I remember when I was just a young preacher. I'm trying to think. I would have just been in my early 20s. And I went somewhere to preach at this group. And there was a happened to be a man there who had been in Brother Branham's meetings. He was an older gentleman. And he had been in Brother Branham's meetings. And he came up to me after the service. And he said, "I got to confess something to you." He said, "When you got up there," he said, "the thought come to my mind, I've been in Brother Branham's meetings. What in the world could this young man have to tell me?" He said, "But you sure told me." He said, "And I want to apologize for the way I was sitting back there thinking. Because I know that can affect the service." Now, he did the right thing. You know, he come and said, "Hey, this is what I was thinking. I was wrong. I'm sorry." And if I'd been a hindrance, you know, he was telling me, if he had been a hindrance in that service, he was sorry he had been a hindrance. But he was telling me, he said, "But you sure told me." In other words, as a young man, he thought he knew a thing or two more than I did, and so I couldn't tell him anything. But that's not how God works. It don't matter what the age is. God can speak through the individual that's yielded to him. I could act like it. That's the problem. Sometimes we go around, we acting like it. But it's not really coming from our heart. If it's not coming from our heart, then we're acting like it to somebody's face, but we're being different behind their back. And that is what that word dissimulation is talking about. Hypocrisy. Now, you're familiar with this quote, and I'll probably come back to it again next Sunday. And you just pray for me, the Lord will, next Sunday I'll continue on with this subject, and then the Sunday after that, which would be the 26th, the Lord willing, will bring a Christmas message. So just help me pray about that. The Lord just guide me. But though we may come back to this quote, and we're very familiar with it, I want to read through it anyway because of how it fits into this message. Brother Branham says here in Christ and Mystery God Revealed, Brother Neville goes through many strains and heartaches, and he doesn't show it here at the tabernacle, but the Lord lets me have a little sight into people's lives, and I know what he goes through, a whole lot of it. And he certainly goes under a lot of labor and strains and things. And you people here hold him up like Joshua and Caleb held up the hands of Moses as he brings the word. Love one another above everything. I want you to emphasize this point, above everything. To love one another. No matter what the devil tries to say. So the devil's going to have something to say about it. And you know, this is the way the devil comes and talks. He comes and talks in your mind. Because Brother Branham said that was the greatest battlefield. That Satan chose the mind. And so he'll come and talk to you in your mind. And he'll tell you things. Well, you know, I don't know about this. he'll tell you, he'll point out things. Remember, he's the accuser of the brethren. Now, how is he going to accuse the brethren? By coming through our minds with thoughts against someone else. But no matter what he brings through your mind, love one another above everything. Now, you're all one great big sweet group now. But remember my warning. See, Satan won't let it stay that way. You know, we've come through times where it seems like everything was going smooth and real sweet in our midst. And then we've hit snags. And we've went through times where we had seemed like new people coming in. And then we went through times where the new people were leaving. And, you know, it's rough. And what Brother Branham's saying is, those sweet times, Satan's not going to let you stay that way. He's constantly going to be working to try to stir something up. And it doesn't matter that we're not a big group. He still works to try to stir something up. And if he can't do it directly through somebody in here, he'll do it indirectly through somebody else from the outside, talking to somebody who's on the inside. And they'll bring accusations. And they'll falsely accuse. And they'll call you on the phone and they'll do their false accusations. And if you would ever realize something, friends, the reason they're doing it is to justify themselves. They want to justify why they're not coming. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't nobody's reason for going to hell. Nobody's going to be able to stand in the day of judgment and be able to say, well, I tell you what, God, I would have made it live for you right. But I tell you, that church over there in Dixon and people over there wouldn't accept me. And people over there wouldn't accept my boyfriend. That is the devil. And when you allow that to go on, you are just being damaging to yourself and to your own spirit. When somebody gets you on the phone telling you this stuff, you need to call them on the carpet right then and there and say, look, I don't believe that. And I don't want to hear it. And if that's all you got to say to me, then please don't call me no more. Amen. You're not going to get on the phone and badmouth my church. You're not going to get on the phone and badmouth my brother. Yes, Brother Jim remembers this. Years ago, somebody got me on the phone. I'll tell you what, they took 45 minutes running Brother Jim down. I got off the phone. It was on a Saturday. And usually I spend all day Saturday studying. But I got off the phone and I told my wife, I said, I'm going over to visit Brother Jim. She said, why? I said, because the devil just had me on the phone for 45 minutes running him down. So I'm just going to put one right in the devil's eye. I'm going to go over and spend the day with him. I let him know I didn't want to hear that stuff. And you know, just like the serpent did in the garden, they'll take some truth and mix some lie with a little bit of truth. But that no matter how much little bit of truth there is, the lie makes it all a lie. You know, you got to realize when somebody said, you've heard the old saying, about take something with a grain of salt. Yeah. In other words, you're thinking, why are they telling me this? What is the reason they have to tell me this? Because I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham said, check your motives and objectives. And people got a motive and objective for telling you something. They got a motive. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If it's running someone down in this church, it's not a good motive. No wonder the Lord wanted me to read this quote. He won't let you stay that way. No, sir. He'll shoot everything. He'll bring somebody in and make them his target. He'll bring in some critic or unbeliever in and set him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. Fellowship with you. And then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of poison stuff. And he'll start through the church with it. Calling this one on the phone, then calling that one on the phone, going to visit this one, going to visit that one. Don't take sides with it. Don't take sides with it. Don't have nothing to do with it or anything else. You stay right, loving and sweet and kind to one another. Now, really weigh out his words here. He's telling you Satan will try to start through the church with something against somebody. Try to turn you on one another, against one another. But don't let him turn you against one another. Instead, he says, you stay loving, sweet, and kind one to another. Pray for that man that he'll be saved too, because he ain't saved in that condition. Or that woman, or whoever it is, just pray for him. And stick one with another. Stick together. Stand shoulder to shoulder. Brother Branham goes on to say, if he can, he'll get you firing at one another. And then he'll just sit back. He don't got to do anything else, because you're shooting one another. You can't be shooting one another and actually standing on the firing line for the Lord. You can't be standing shoulder to shoulder with your fellow soldiers, brothers and sisters, fighting this battle that we're fighting against the enemy of this age and be firing at one another. Stick one with another and stay with your pastor. See, he's the shepherd, and you give him respects, he'll lead you through, because he's ordained of God to do so. Critical spirit. Now, critical spirits will come from time to time and try to get on you. Try to give you some thoughts and talk to you. Get you to start sitting out there being critical. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you got somebody sitting in the congregation being critical of everything that's going on and everything that's being said, it is a tremendous hindrance to this whole service. It's hard to lead songs. It's hard to preach. It gets hard on everybody else, and sometimes they don't even know what's going on. And you know, you say, well, I'm not saying anything to anybody about it. No, but if you're sitting there with that critical spirit, that's enough to bring a hindrance in the service. And it don't matter what it is that you're criticizing. You could be criticizing the music. You could be criticizing the song leader. You could be criticizing the song selections. You could be criticizing the way something else is done in the church, or criticizing, well, I tell you what, so-and-so, I tell you what, their baby just disturbs me so much in church. Well, get saved then. I'll tell you something, friends. I've often said this. Babies aren't what bothers me in assembly. A baby's going to cry. That's the word. That's part of the message. Brother Branham said it's the only way they got to communicate. He said you can say this, baby. Now, I'll tell you what. When you get hungry, you ring this bell. He said, no. He said, they're going to do their God-given way to communicate. They're going to scream and cry. He said that was their God-given way. And sometimes he said, God wants us to scream and cry for him. As his children. Babies don't bother me. But I've seen parents that there ain't nothing wrong with the kid, but they just don't want to sit in there. So I don't know if they pinched the kid or what, but they want the kid to take them out, so they don't got to stay in there. Now that gets to where it bothers you. Because you can tell. They're just using a baby for an excuse. But babies making their noise, hollering, or children singing, trying to sing, you know, that don't bother nobody. It shouldn't. They're just trying to, you know, when you hear little kids trying to sing and maybe they're off key or maybe they're a little too loud, you know, they're just trying to do what they see going on around them. And I believe the Lord loves that worship. Because he didn't say sing in key. He said make a joyful noise. But don't sit there with a critical spirit on you. Picking at things. Picking at this one, picking at that one. Just go on. You know, you ought to get to where, no matter where you're sitting in this building, that you're able just to tone everything else out and get focused on the word that's being preached. I heard Brother Darrell Ward say before, don't be shopping at Walmart in your minds while I'm preaching. Sometimes people, as the service moves on a little bit, they'll get to thinking, now where did I want to go eat today? And the next thing you know, you get your attention comes back to what's being preached, and you're like, I'm lost. I have no clue what he was even talking about. And I'll tell you something, I don't preach long anymore. I know when I first came here to pastor, sometimes I could preach real long, but I don't preach long anymore. So I ought to be able to have your attention for what little time I'm up here. Brother Branham said they hit Jesus in the head while they had him blindfolded. And they said, prophesy and tell us who hit you. He said, and then when he was on the cross, they said, others he could save, but he cannot save himself. If you be the Son of God, come down off the cross and save yourself. And even the thief that was hanging to the wrong one side said, if you be the Son of God, save yourself and save us too. Brother Branham said, see, it's that critical spirit. Now, here's the thing that would just about blow your mind. Brother Ram says, and God lets it happen. Why? Why, Brother Branham? He said, so it would blind the eyes of the wise and prudent. Do you know, Brother Branham, you know, he made mistakes sometimes. As a human, he said 700, wasn't it one time, meant 7,000. But people got all tripped up about that. And so the next time he had questions and answers, here it came. What's the big deal? And there's times, I've studied through the message, there's times when Brother Branham was talking about Elisha, and he would say, Elijah. That don't make what he was saying wrong. I read the other day where Brother Branham was quoting something out of the Bible, and he said the wrong scripture where it was found. And then he caught himself and said, no, it's not there. It's this other place. And God allows sometimes little bitty mistakes like that to be said and made, just so that critic will catch it and get drawn in by it. Why? Because this is identifying time. But I'm not talking about that devil-possessed critic that comes in. I'm talking about us here. To allow a critical spirit to get on us. I'm talking about children of God that'll sometimes allow themselves to listen to criticism. Brother Branham talks about blind Bartimaeus waiting for Jesus to come by. He wanted to be healed. And he thought, if I just could get to him, get him to hear me, he'll heal me. Brother Adam said, Jesus, they were bringing Jesus. And he said, and there was some that was hollering, Hosanna. He said, but there was others hollering, hey, you holy roller. He just kind of dramatized it a bit, you know. You raised Lazarus from the dead while we've got a whole graveyard full of dead people you can raise. Why don't you come out and raise some of them? If you do that, then we'll believe you. Brother Branham said, they mock and scoff like that today too. It's that old critical spirit that don't die. It's still alive tonight and can work through men. That critical spirit is helpless until it gets somebody to listen to it. And once that critical spirit gets somebody to listen to it, then it begins to gain power. And like I said, you don't got to be saying anything to anyone. Just sitting there dwelling on these critical thoughts, and you'll be a hindrance to the service. He said, and you know, we all have our opinions. We all have our opinions on how this or that, or, you know, somebody is trying to make a decision, say, perhaps in this life, on the purchase of a home, let's say. And if they would go around and ask this one and ask that one and ask this one and ask that one, what do you think? You think I ought to do this? They're going to get about 15 different opinions. Also, everybody's got an opinion. You know, I've watched over the years different politicians who have been in the leadership of this country. And some of them will take polls of the people to see what the people think about this or that so that they can decide what they're going to do based on an opinion poll. That's not the way God leads his church. God doesn't take a poll of all of our opinions. I'm going to tell you something, friends. God doesn't even want my opinion. God knows what he's doing. My opinions personally can be wrong. I've had opinions certain ways about certain things, and it not turn out that way. It was just me as a man, a person. But I don't act on those things because I know better than that. I know that God's not concerned about my opinion. And if he's not concerned about mine, he ain't concerned about yours either. God doesn't go around and say, now how do y'all think I should handle this? He knows how to do it. I'm going to tell you something. I don't sit around trying to contemplate. Now, we got this situation, this problem. What should I do about this? No, I pray about it, commit it to the Lord. And in his time, he'll show me what to do. It may be that he'll bring something across the pulpit. Then it may be he'll bring something personal. I don't know. The Lord knows how to deal with it. And here's the thing, friends. When he tells you what to do, he doesn't always tell you from beginning to end how it's going to be. You just got to follow him as he tells you. Brother Ram said, there's people come criticizing and poking their fingers at me. And saying, I brought somebody down here and they're what to be prayed for and what nothing happened to them. He said, that's that same old devil that said, come off the cross and we'll believe you. That same old devil, and it still lives in man today. criticizing. I'm talking about us not allowing critical spirits to come and us entertain them. Talked about Abraham. How he said Abraham was criticized because Abraham had said, the Lord told me that Sarah and I was going to have a son and that I was going to be a father of nations. And Brother Branham said, they said to Abraham, how many children you got, father of nations? It's been 25 years ago that you told us that. Brother Branham said, it's that same old critical spirit that would criticize. But the Bible says that Abraham staggered not at the promise through unbelief, but was faithful. Amen. He was faithful to the promise. Brother Branham says, people will criticize me and say, why, here you prayed for so-and-so and they didn't get well. He said, that doesn't matter. I'll pray for 1,000 tonight, 10,000 die in the morning. Tomorrow night, I'll still be anointing the sick and praying for them. God said so, doesn't stop it a bit. God promised it, I believe it, certainly. Don't make any difference what they say. But they'll scoff. That's the reproach of the word. And Abraham stood on God's word, and finally it was fulfilled. We're going to bear reproach. Friends, look, we get enough criticism from the outside. Y'all know. You've heard some of it. People saying that there must be something wrong over at that church. When Tim died, we had so much criticism of this church go on. The Horn family had so much criticism. People saying this and that and the other about it. We got enough criticism on the outside, we don't need to have any on the inside. You know, Brother Branham kind of dramatizes Andrew coming and telling Peter about Jesus. And Peter, you know, said, well, I'll have to go see for myself. And Brother Branham said, Peter didn't come down there as a critic. He said he came down there the same way I hope that you come, not as a critic, but just to come and see. And said when he come down there to see, then Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of Jonas. Philip went and told Nathanael. And said, Nathanael said, what good can come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. And so Brother Branham said, Nathanael didn't come as a critic. He said, so many come to my services as critics. You know they did. Some of them wrote false things on prayer cards. Brother Branham said, you've got this and that. And they said, no, I don't neither. I just wrote that on the card. He said, well, you've got it now. But he said, Nathanael didn't come as a critic. He come to see. And when he come down there, Jesus said, behold an Israelite in whom there's no guile. He said, Rabbi, when did you know me? He said, before Philip called you while you were sitting under the tree, I saw you. He said, Nathanael, from then on, followed Jesus. But there was many that come around him as critics. Brother Branham said, what a difference between Nathanael and that young businessman that came to Jesus. Talking about that rich young ruler. And he said, what a difference. The young businessman turned away sadly. But Nathanael said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Hallelujah. Pardon me. The message of trying to do God a service without it being his will. Brother Branham says, O Lord, never let me come to a standstill. Continually, Lord, let me not stop at one thing. Let me just move on. Lord, till I've completed everything that you've ordained for me to do. That's God has something ordained for each one of us. And we need to keep moving until we have fulfilled whatever it is to the completeness of what he's ordained for us. Regardless of the price, it costs. It'll cost you friendships. It'll cost you associates. It'll cost you someone to speak evil of you. Regardless of the cost, regardless of the criticism, how hard the cross is, I'll remember the cross that you bore. And then he quotes this song, must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. The Bible says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Friends, it's not hard to distinguish when someone's speaking evil. It don't matter how sweetly they're talking about it. People will try to paint themselves up sometimes as being a victim, to try to work on your sympathy, to get you to side with them. But if it's saying something against someone of this congregation, then it doesn't matter. It's evil. You know, sometimes you wouldn't believe things that you have no idea that gets told here and there and yon about you. Here, it's been some years ago. You remember when Brother Phil sold his place up here in Charlotte, and he moved over there east of Nashville. Well, Brother Jewel called me up and he said, Brother, how's Brother Phil doing? I said, he's doing good. Is he coming to church? I said, yeah. Still preaching? Yeah. Huh. He said, I heard that he had backslid and left the church and moved off. Now, who in the world? Where did they get their information? They had to just make it up. Maybe they heard Brother Phil moved a distance away and then they just made up everything else. I said, Brother, there ain't a bit of truth to that. I said, Brother Phil did move. He sold his place and he moved. I said, but he still comes to church, still preaches, still serving the Lord. And you know, you wonder, what would motivate somebody to say something like that? It isn't like they were best buds with Brother Phil, or that they had constant communication with him and could keep up with what was going on in his life. They lived a distance away. I'm not talking about Brother Jewel. I'm talking about where it came from. I know where it came from. That was just nothing but pure evil. They weren't saying it in a way like as if they were concerned, please pray for him. They were trying to spread something evil about somebody. And you know why? Because they were trying to point their fingers at the Church of Dixon. See, I told you there was things wrong with that church. I told you there was things wrong with that pastor. That's what it was all about. See how you identify that evil? All right, we got to move on. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Brother Branham says this in Christ and Mystery of God Revealed. He said, what about the sinner? You know, the believer was made to judge a sinner if he don't accept it. He was made, the sinner makes the glory of the believer who does accept. And it takes the night to express the glory of the day. It takes a vessel of dishonor to express the love and care for the vessel of honor. It takes an evil woman to wear immoral clothes and sell her morals to express the virtue of a decent, genuine lady. It takes a crook and a thief in a man to express the genuineness of a real believer, a real Christian. It takes the hypocrite to show up the believer what he is. So we're going to have the hypocrites. We're going to have the critics. But Jesus said, when they speak evil of you, rejoice in that day. For so did their fathers, the prophets. Leap for joy. Why? It's identifying you. You're being identified with the prophets, not with the ones that talked and did evil against the prophets. The message of God had explained. He said, no matter what we do, how many miracles we can perform, how many mountains we can move, whatever it is, until we come to a place that we love, not make believe, but love one another, when we love every brother, no matter what church he belongs to, we love him, and not just pretend we do, because we know it's a religious idea. it's, we're supposed to do it. But because we do it, we love one another, then long suffering, bearing with one another. I believe it's in Colossians 3:9 somewhere. I might be wrong on the scripture. But it said after we become Christians, we should not envy. See, we can't have faith when we're trying to pay respects and honor to one another. Now, he's talking about lifting somebody up above other people. He said, believe in your brothers. Sure, love, respect, dignity. Have faith and confidence in one another. Don't lie to one another. Don't lie to one another. He repeats it. If I tell you this morning I love you, I must mean that. If I don't, I'm a hypocrite. Don't lie to one another. Discernment of spirit. He said, when a man is anointed of the Spirit of God, he's got the actions of God. And the action of God is to never break us up. The action of God is to draw us together. For we are one in Christ Jesus. And God's purpose is to bring us together to love one another. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow our heads before you now. Lord, we want to have this love in our midst, dear God, the trueness of love. Father, that when we say we love one another, dear God, there's actions to go with it. It's not saying one thing, doing another. Lord, we want to be real. We don't want to be critical of one another, Lord. Lord, we've all got faults. There's not a one of us here this morning, Lord, that's without faults. We all make mistakes. We all have failures. And Lord, we sure don't need someone criticizing us over them. The devil sure does enough of that. Lord, every one of us here is in need of the mercies of God every day. Lord, we don't want to get to shooting one another, but we want to stand together, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, against the front of the enemy. And Lord, when you identify for us, Lord, how the ways that the enemy approaches, how that he comes in so slyly times through the mind and just insert a thought here or there. Lord, we don't want to entertain those thoughts. We want to identify that, Lord, and we want to think on the things of the Lord. We want to pray for one another. Lord, encourage one another. Uplift one another. Help one another along in this journey that we're on. Help our fellow brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, how we should be, Father, every day we should be praying one for another. Praying for each other, Lord, not knowing what any given person might be facing that day. Lord, sometimes we face illnesses. Sometimes, Lord, we get up, Lord, and someone just doesn't feel well and they're having an off day. And they need prayer. They need the help of the Lord to make it through the day. Lord, we don't know of these days, how they come and when they are. But if we're holding one another up in prayer, Father, there's prayer going up for each one every day. Lord, then we have assurance, God, that you hear us when we pray and that we'll have what we ask for. Lord, you know the needs of your people, Lord. You know the needs of their families. You know their loved ones, Lord, that are in an unsaved condition. And Lord, it doesn't matter about their knowledge of this message. For knowledge will pass away. But Lord, what they need is to have love for this message. They need to have love for the Lord. Not just a knowledge, but they need to have love. And Lord, if they have love, then they'll want to serve you. Lord, help us, Lord, to be examples in what we do and in what we say. Lord, you said that we're to tell somebody. Lord, we're to speak to the sinner. Tell them about Christ. Tell our loved ones about Christ. Lord, there's times, God, when they say things, they actually need a rebuke. But the rebuke should come in love. Not a condescending way, but a way to say, no, you're wrong. That's not right. And then speak to them what is right. Help us to reach our loved ones, Lord. Lord, we've all got loved ones that are not serving God, not where they should be. Lord, and we don't know what to say. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But Lord, help us to be salty, to cause them to thirst for what we've got. And Lord, if we've got love in our midst, God, that'll create a thirst in others. They'll want that love. Bless your people, we pray. Go with them today, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.